Seems the newscasts of late are full of news about the news. Stories abound about the death of newsprint, as newspapers, publishing companies, and even scandal magazines are folding up and fading away. They're being replaced by modern versions of the town crier, folks on little screens that type, text, or shout a stream of facts, figures, gossip, and advertisements into our lives, whether we want it or not. In this high-tech world, there are fewer and fewer of us who still write on paper, with a pencil, no less. We also still read books that are held in our hands, with pages held between our fingers and turned when we're ready. And we also still read newspapers that get ink on our fingers and leave smudges in our minds about news items, sports scores, crosswords, comics, and bargains from the classifieds. I'm sure that many of us who carry the genes of string savers from the Great Depression are ardent reusers, taking cans, bottles, plastic, and paper to recycle centers. And you can count me in those ranks, except that I keep my newspapers because I have my own recycling project at home. In winter, I store up all the news that's fit to print to use during the spring and summer when I turn my gardens, flower beds, and any other planted areas into library extensions. I use the pages as the basis for mulch, which cuts down on the amount of watering and weeding I do throughout the growing seasons. I use dailies and weeklies that give a local viewpoint, but the bulk of my mulch material comes from the Gray Lady herself, the Sunday New York Times. It numbers in the hundreds of pages and takes a week to read the national and international news, opinions and editorials, styles and leisure trends, travel, book reviews, sports stories, arts reviews, and the financial market reports. I must admit that sometimes on a spring or summer day, I find myself reading between rows when I get caught up in a story that I missed or want to revisit as I layer it down between the beets and the green beans. But this grand old newspaper gives my garden all the news that's fit to print and grow on. And it always responds by producing well-read, balanced harvests of fruits, vegetables, and flowers. And quite often, it gives out the call of, "Extra, extra, take some zucchini," when I have a bumper crop. Over the gardening years, I've improved my mulching methods, learning at the School of Hard Knocks that a thick mat of newspapers is harder to get rid of during fall or spring cleanup. Two sheets of newspaper is all that's needed to act as a weed barrier, and they will most likely compost down into soil additives after the growing season. Because I live in the wind tunnel of the world, I always cover the papers with wood chips or wheat straw to hold them in place. And I never use the slick colored sections or add supplements because of the various colored inks and dyes that I don't really want leaching into my garden soil. I'm afraid gardeners of the future may have to find other alternatives for mulching their growing efforts, as the survival of printed paper is doubtful in a high-tech world. But looking through the glass darkly, we may not have enough water or sustainable soil to keep gardening from also disappearing from the scene. I'll bet that with the new computerized 3D reproduction projects that are making headlines today, the techno-geeks of tomorrow will be able to produce a reasonable facsimile of a vine-ripe tomato without ever planting a seed.